The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to all of our friends, visitors, family. That should be better. Welcome to everybody. It's good to be here together, and together we will encounter God in word and sacrament and in the presence of each other. I invite us now to begin with the words printed in our bulletin. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up.
After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, and that we may live before him.
Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord.
His appearance is as sure as dawn.
And I invite all those who can stand to stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, the fountain of living water, you quench our thirst and wash away our sin.
Give us this water always. Bring us to drink from the well that flows with the beauty of your truth, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And at this time, we invite our children forward for a children's message. And barring no children in our audience today, welcome, my children. We need to use our imaginations today. I want you to think of a hot summer day in Newport. You know, that's hard to think about today, but I mean a really hot day, like the temperatures are up to like 72 degrees.
Really?
Maybe 73, it's a heat wave. But you're out in your yard, you're working on that 73 degree heat wave type of a day, and after a couple hours, what happens? You get a little thirsty, right? Now, what's your favorite drink? Church appropriate answers only.
Iced tea.
Water.
Water's a good quencher. Well, I got a couple different options of water here. I got this guy out of the garden. Been in my office for a week. I wanted to make it special for this Sunday. Who wants this glass of water?
No.
Why not? It's kind of icky. It's gross. It's like, kind of like swamp water, and you don't know what's going to happen after you drink it, right? So, you know, in the ancient world, you only had two types of water. You had water that was there for a long time, or you have water that is running, say like a river. Who would take river water over this water? Oh yeah, everybody, right? Because the flowing water is the water that's probably gonna be clean to drink, right? And you see how it flows? Well, in the ancient world, they would call this living water. We call it running water. Ancient world, living water. Well, in the text today, Jesus is going to talk a lot about living water. And like last week, we had a misunderstanding with Nicodemus. This week, the misunderstanding is going to be about non-living water. Living water. And then they need living water beyond just this. But who's going to take this cup?
Yep.
Yeah, everybody, right? Well, this is our invitation this Sunday. Is the love of God is like this cup. It's pouring, it's living, it's not stale, and we're all invited to drink from this cup. So let us pray together, friends. On the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for living water.
Thank you for living water.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Hear now the word. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do for this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm may be found on page 5 of your bulletin. I will read the light print. Please reply with the bold print. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with songs.
For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods.
In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours.
The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Oh, that today you would hear God's voice.
Harden not your hearts, as in Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the desert.
There your ancestors tested me. They put me to the test, though they had seen my works.
40 years I loathed that generation, saying, "The heart of this people goes astray. They do not know my ways."
Indeed, I swore in my anger, they shall never come to my rest. A reading from the letter to the Romans. Hear now the word. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely, therefore, since we have now been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Friends, I invite us all to remain standing for this gospel, but it is a very long gospel, so I also extend another invitation for all those who wish to sit as well, and you can make your decision as we go. He left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his sons Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to her, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty. But those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You are worshiping what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all these things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then the disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were saying, urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and you see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruits for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his words. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, a long text means a shorter sermon. A lot to unpack today. A lot to unpack that we'll never have the time to unpack. But I think to really get the kernel of what is going on, we have to talk about what a motif is. You know that word motif in movies, music, literature, it's that pattern or symbol that sets up an expectation. So you start seeing the standards, the pattern or the symbol, you have an expectation of what is to come next. So as a thought experiment, if I were to say romantic movie, act one, boy meets girl, what is act two? So boy meets girl, boy loses girl. What's act three? Boy gets girl. Right? You all know the pattern. You know what to expect. If I said beach town on that 73-degree hot summer day on a weekend holiday and someone sees a fin in the water, you're thinking mayhem. Some grisly old person is going to show up complaining about the size of his boat. It's a motif. We know what to expect. And we can reverse the expectations if we want. So you're walking down a dark hallway at night with ominous music playing. You're thinking nothing good is about to happen. It sets the audience up for an expectation. And then the friends jump out because it's a surprise birthday party. So I don't know why it's here. Check my pocket. find a well in Scripture, and a boy meets girl at a well. This is a biblical motif. And typically what happens is, boy meets girl, girl draws water from well, boy and girl saunter off into the city together, meet the family, and before you know it, there's a betrothal. So you have Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob and Rachel, Moses and Zipporah. Forgive my pronunciation of that. But we have a standard pattern and a symbol. So in our text says, Jesus showed up after a long journey to a well in Samaria, meets a girl. All you biblical scholars out there thinking, this is the part where Jesus gets married. And if you think that, then you understand the text. Now, of course, there's a bunch of reversals that go on, and we don't have time to go into all of that. But the kernel of this is here. Jesus has come as the bridegroom. And he's calling people to come enter in that union with him and God and that covenant throughout all of Scripture. Is symbolized by a marriage. Now, friends, our text also contrasts nicely with last week's text. Nicodemus shows up at night, leaves at night, doesn't become a disciple. And I told you that last week that these are symbolic layers. Don't get caught up on the details of it being night or why does he come at night. It's a symbol in John's gospel. Well, today's text, what is it? It's noon. That detail is there to say that's the brightest part of the day. And here is where the Samaritan woman meets Jesus. And as I said a few weeks ago, in John's gospel, the invitation to discipleship is the phrase, come and see. Come and see. And that is meant with the response of to remain. So the Samaritan woman who has come and saw goes, then invites others to come and see. The first evangelist in the Gospel of John is a woman friend. And then they come and see. And Jesus remains. So friends, this text is for us. The bridegroom is here. The one who has come from God to save the world, to be with us, is here now. The invitation is for us to join in the feast. As always, we have this table ready, the marriage feast for us all, because God wants to dwell with us, and in us, and with us, and to reconcile us back to God. And it doesn't matter our mistakes, or our sins, or our successes, or anything else. You are accepted and beloved by God. And invited in now to share the feast. Amen.
Jesus, sing, come to me and pray.
reconciled by God's mercy, and sustained by God's presence, let us pray for the world and its needs. O God, when suffering arises, preserve your church. Give to pastors, deacons, bishops, and all servants of your gospel the endurance that produces character and the hope that will never disappoint. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
When the waters run dry, sustain this earth. Send water to places languishing with drought, and bring relief to places damaged by floods. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
When quarrels ensue, soften our hearts. Quell hostilities between nations and peoples, and reconcile all humans across the lines of race, class, nationality, moral conviction, religion, and all else that divides or oppresses. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
When your people thirst, satisfy their needs. Send water and food to all who need nourishment. Grant welcome to all who are excluded. Show your mercy to any in need, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Mike, Paul, Jill, Bran, the family of Kenneth McCandless, for immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts.
Kimberly family.
John.
Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
When we gather to worship, send us your spirit. Renew our hearts through the joyful noise we make, and bless the work of our church musicians and musical ensembles. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
O God, when death draws near, we rejoice in the promise of life with you. We remember all who have entered eternal rest, and we pray that you bring us the hope of sharing in your glory. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Receive our prayers, O God, through Jesus Christ, our strength and salvation.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the sign of peace with everyone around. And I invite us all now to stand for our offering. Steadfast love embraces all creation. You send rain and sunshine to nourish the earth and bring forth its beauty. Through these gifts of bread and wine, draw us into the death and life of your Son, who calls us to bear witness to his saving work. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gifts of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do do this for the remembrance of me. And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us and send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people of God. And all means all, which means all, which means all. And you are here, you are part of that all, and all are invited to come forward and receive from this meeting. In a moment, the ushers will come and we'll start on this side of the room. And we ask that you fill our communion rail from right to left, and you may receive communion either standing or kneeling, whichever is most appropriate and comfortable for you. Only come with a hand extended, and the bread will be given to you. We have gluten-free options upon request. And then when the wine comes, you reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. Know that all are welcome. And if you wish to come forward and only receive a blessing, you may also do that. Just come with your arms crossed, and I will say a prayer over you. But friends, all are invited. This is the marriage feast. Come and see.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. God of our salvation, we give you thanks for this meal that restores our soul, reconciles us to you, and strengthens us for the journey. Through the body and blood of your Son, may we become Christ's body in the world, bearing witness to your love for all creation, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Friends, we just pause briefly for some announcements, and we have our insert we call the Words of the Week, and that will have all of our activities for the week, and it'll be a full week, so please look at all the events going on. You're invited to join us for contemplative prayer at noon on Wednesday, and then hold an evening prayer and soup supper at 6 and 7. And please also be invited to a special service next Sunday where we have some guest musicians along with the youth symphony concert here. So mark your calendars for that. And now I invite us to prepare to receive the blessing. Receive the blessing of the Holy Trinity, God who calls all things into existence, Jesus Christ who redeems us, and the Holy Spirit whose breath sustains creation. Bless you now and always.